Hey everyone, in today's episode of How to Get Into Investment Banking, I'm going to be covering and doing a complete breakdown of the investment banking career path. So looking at the advantages and disadvantages, including the work itself, hierarchy, promotions, lifestyle, hours, salaries, exit opportunities, primarily focused on the analyst and associate level. I know that's primarily where my audience lives, and that's something that I want to cover because I feel like there's a lot of fluff videos out there on YouTube today. And what I mean by that is I feel like a lot of it's negative. A lot of it's focused on how many hours you work and exit opportunities versus really thinking about, you know, where can a career take you if you start out as an analyst or an associate. But before we get to that, let me just kind of quickly recap for a lot of younger students out there, you know, whether you're a high school senior, junior, or a freshman, you know, what is it that investment bankers actually do, right? So think of investment bankers as advisors, right? You're giving advice to companies, whether large, small, Fortune 500, private companies, governments at times, on complex transactions, right? So these could be mergers and acquisitions. If you're looking to carve out a asset from your company, a divestiture, for example, if you're looking to buy another company, maybe you're looking to go public. So maybe you're looking to raise debt or do an equity offering, or you're going through a restructuring, right? And you have too much debt on your balance sheet, right? So advise really means that the senior investment bankers and the investment banking deal team, they're going to work with the management teams at these companies to actually, hey, let's think about what are companies that we want to acquire, what deals make sense. And make sense is more from a financial sense of like, hey, what's the best structure for this deal? Is this the best time to raise capital? And if we try to raise capital and we're marketing these debt and, you know, equity securities to potential investors, are we going to be able to raise this capital at terms that are favorable to the company, right? So this role, obviously at a junior level, it's more of a very heavy task focused role. But overall, if you kind of look at investment banking from a, you know, 50,000 foot view, on a grand scale, it really comes down to negotiating, sales. You're giving advice. And I think at a very senior level, you are really, the job is to be a good listener, right? You want to be a sounding board for senior executives. And I think that's the best way to think about that, right? Especially as you move up, right? And kind of pivoting to kind of the transitions very nicely into, you know, as you move through your career in investment banking, you know, why would you want a career in the, you know, in front office finance, in investment banking, sell side, you know, in the first place, right? One thing I want to get out the way is that I'm extremely biased towards the industry. I loved my time as an analyst. I think it prepared me very well, developing my speaking skills, my ability to work with folks that are much more senior, how to storyboard and how to bring to life numbers and data that are in Excel, and how to tell a story, you know, via a memo or a PowerPoint. Excuse me, or how to use Excel as a tool to do analysis, right? So I'm very biased. I loved being in the bullpen. I loved working. I loved going through older pitch decks and seeing structures of older deals, what were older analysis that people did. And I truly enjoyed my time. So I'm going to put that out there that I'm a little bit of a biased party in this. So one thing you'll notice in my explanation is I didn't talk about the money, right? I talked about both the qualitative and quantitative factors of what drew me to the industry, right? So that's, hey, I want to learn about finance. I want to learn about M&A. I want to learn about restructuring. And I want to know how these things work, right? And I want to understand how companies maneuver through these situations, right? And that's what drew me to the industry. Now, obviously, a lot of people are interested in it because of the income. You know, if you work even as an analyst and associate, you will be top 1%, you know, in most states and countries, right? So not saying money is not important and it should be, and you should value money a lot. I'm just saying it shouldn't be the first answer as to why you want to work in this space, right? You should be interested and excited about what you can learn, and then particularly about what can come after that, right? So especially as an analyst and associate, there's so many amazing exit opportunities that come to you. You know, one of my mentors told me, he's like, hey, Sajan, when someone looks at your resume and they see that you worked in banking and private equity, there's going to be a certain level of expectations that are going to come with that, right? People are going to expect your work product to be a certain way, and they're just going to accept a bare kind of baseline of knowledge, right? So it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But also what that means is that you will have a lot of opportunities available to you after your 2 years as an analyst, or 3 years or 5 years, you know, if you stay on as an associate for a few years. But I'll touch on that in another video and a little bit on later on. So let's kind of go and pivot to the next thing. You know, a lot of the students that I coach and that I work with, something that a lot of these students have in common is you know, when they come to me, they're like, hey, Sajan, what's my profile? How do I compare to my peers out there? How do I compare to my peers, both at, you know, target schools, non-targets, and at my school, right? There are some things that, you know, you need, you know, regardless of where you're coming from, to break in, right? There's kind of the haves and, excuse me, there's needs and what you need to have and what you'd like to have, right? A need is that you need to have a solid GPA. I think it's almost non-negotiable to have anything below a 3.5. You know, it used to be 3.5. Really, it's a 3.7, but 3.5 is the bare minimum, right? Because if you can't handle course load and doing well in school with where you have a lot of support in theory, how can I manage you to, you know, update a one pager, you know, at the simplest level, or manage a comps database or something like that, right? Again, at the bare minimum level, if you can't get an A in class in college, how can I trust you with actual work that is going to external clients and what have you, right? So on one hand, you need to have good grades. You need to have kind of well thought out leadership experience, whether it's on campus, off campus things, whether you volunteer, and you need work experience that makes sense, right? Now, again, obviously, if you go to a target school, things are a little bit different. But even if you go to like a super target, you will need some sort of relevant experience, right, on your resume. And yes, there's always outliers, but for the most part, you do need relevant work experience. You need a good GPA, and you still need to prepare for your interviews, because nowadays things are so competitive that even sophomores who are interviewing for that internship that they'd be doing as rising seniors, you're kind of expected to come in those interviews and, hey, let's talk about accretion dilution. Let's talk about some paper LBO math, right? Let's talk conceptually about time value of money and WAC and discount rates and things like that, right? So I think those are things that you need to have, especially if you're trying to break in as an analyst, even as an MBA associate who's transitioning from careers. Something that I want to speak to is something that you'll notice traits across the spectrum, right? Everyone that you work with for the most part will be smart. Now, whether that's on one end of the spectrum of being IQ or EQ, meaning some people are good at both. I like to think that I'm a little bit of both. Some people really have a lot of good IQ. Some people have a lot of good EQ. And some people are in the middle. But there is going to be, everyone will have something that they're really good at. And there's a reason they're in the room, right? They didn't just get there by sheer luck, right? I mean, sometimes, yes, again, there's always outliers. But for the most part, people are there because they worked hard to get into that room, right? And then a skill that's extremely underrated that everyone listening, I really want you to take note of this, is that something that I very much appreciate of my time in investment banking and private equity is how demonstrably my writing and grammar skills, you know, 10x, I don't even know. I can't even quantify 100x, right? My writing was so bad when I came in as an analyst, and when I left, it was materially better, right? So something that is a need, like you need to be good at this, is you need to have a grasp of the English language. I know that sounds very silly, but a lot of people can't write for shit. They don't know basic grammar. They don't know when to use commas. They don't know what a run-on sentence is. Some people, I could ask people on the street, what's an adverb? What's an adjective? What's a noun? What's a pronoun? People would have no idea. And I'm telling you, these things matter, because when you're writing a sim, you're writing an investment memo, you're writing a one-pager, you're trying to break down a complex idea and explain it in layman's terms. All this stuff is really, really, really important to do, right? So for me, that's something that I loved coming out of the industry, is that that's a skill set that I developed. So that's something that a lot of people are going to have to. So if you're in college and you suck at writing, there's a book, it's slipping my mind right now. It's here on my bookshelf. I don't want to get up in the middle of the episode, but it's a really good book. I'll put the name in the bottom so you guys can go buy it. It's a few bucks on Amazon. So one is, everyone's going to be smart, whether it's EQ, IQ. Everyone is going to expect you to have good writing and reading and being able to comprehend, deduce, have logic, and then math, right? You need to be decent at algebra. Now, people are going to be like, hey, Sajan, who doesn't know algebra? A lot of people don't, trust me. And the reason you need to be very, very good at algebra, I got up to Calc 3 in college, and I didn't need to go past that. But algebra is so important, right? Because when you're doing paper LBO math, you're doing quick division, you're doing accretion dilution, you're dividing numbers, you really just need to be really good at dividing, multiplying, adding things like that in a spiff. What really helped me was Vedic mathematics. I should have had these books ready, right? But Vedic mathematics really helped me to be able to do all these quick calculations when it's dividing, multiplying, especially with decimals and stuff and percentages. Again, stuff that you don't necessarily learn in school, but something that is very, very important. So again, these aren't necessarily like requirements that you're going to see kind of bulleted out, you know, when you're applying for something. But these are things that are very important of, hey, what are my skill sets, right? What am I talented at? Am I more of an IQ, EQ person? And then how do I amplify that to stand out when I'm networking, when you're reaching out to folks? Two, what am I weak at, right? I think self-awareness is so important. And if you're not a good writer, you don't have a good grasp of grammar, well, then go get that, because you will be writing a lot. You'll be reading a lot. You'll be checking a lot of work. You'll be working on a lot of decks, and you need to be able to convey what you're saying in a short, concise, condensed manner. So those are some really, really important requirements that I think are super important. And then the last thing I want to talk about that I think what you'll see that attracts people, that people who get attracted to the space, they're generally very, very competitive, right? Whether it was a sport, another activity, you know, whether they played an instrument, whatever it is, you're going to find people who genuinely were talented at a specific thing that they did, right? So let me put a cap on that. Those are kind of the needs that I feel like you kind of do need to succeed in the career, right? It's and that kind of maybe foretell, or I don't know, is that a word, or something that kind of says like, hey, this person is going to do well in the space, right? Now, I'm coming up on 12 minutes, so I'm going to save kind of the detail on the career path. I'll do a part two to this video. I'll kind of leave this part one as kind of like, hey, you know, what do bankers do? Why is a career in it very important? And kind of the core requirements that you need, right? Grade, work experience, leadership experience, on-campus stuff. And again, a lot of people are like, hey, Sajan, this is kind of old stuff. This is kind of expected. You know, the sad reality is that as much as you're saying that, there are so many students who don't do this, who aren't aware of this, that they come and talk to me and they reach out to me when they're juniors and like, hey, Sajan, I want to get into banking. Well, I'm like, all right, well, you're shit out of luck. You have a 3-2-3-3. You didn't think about transferring. You're stuck at this non-target. You have no, your body of work is complete trash. You have no on-campus experience. You have no work experience. You didn't even work for free anywhere. And that's a whole topic we'll cover another day. So how are you now going to come to me as a junior? I'm like, hey, what am I, Dorothy? I'm going to click my heels and you're going to get a summer analyst gig somewhere, right? No, it's going to take years for you to reposition yourself. It might take 2-3 years for you to kind of figure that out. And I'll do a video on that of like what to do if you're in that situation, which is you got a 3-2 and you're a senior and now you're fucked, right? What do you do? You know, and there are ways around it, but that's why it's so important to start on this stuff early on. The last thing before I end this, and so then it makes a nice pivot to the part two of this video, which is the actual career path. I'd say, I know a lot of people say, it's impossible to break into banking after a certain time. I think there's always caveats. I'd say, yes, majority of the folks in the industry they're joining in as traditional two-year analysts for the most part. Yes, you have people who are coming out of MBA programs, but I will say that there are people in tangential fields who come in into analyst programs. So people who work in equity research, asset management, there are people who have done FP&A and who have gone in and started as A1s or A2s. There are people who might be in sales and trading and pivot in that way. So there are ways to get in as an analyst within a certain range, right? But for the most part, it does get harder later and later on, unless you get your MBA even pivot in. But even on the tail end of MBAs who join, they're usually 35 at the latest, 33, right? And that's, again, maybe they did something else. They were in the military, whatever the case is. So, but anyway, yeah. Anyway, I want to stop there because I want to save the back half, because this is going to be a lot of detail for the actual career path, which I'm going to go through summer analysts, analyst associates, you know, VPs down to MDs and whatnot. So anyway, look, guys. And also make sure the download the book, please. Book is free. I think you guys are going to love it. I wish I'd put it out earlier. I see so many students coming up to me and they tell me what they're doing. And I'm like, shit, man, that's like literally what you shouldn't be doing. I wish I had gotten to you sooner and you were able to watch my video sooner and you had a chance to read my book, because I tell you literally what to do, you know, in my book. So please download the book. And again, if you like this, you know, I really enjoy making these videos. So if you guys like this as much as I like making for you, share it with your friends. And I will see you guys on the next video. Peace.